Welcome to Antiviral, where we share tight prose and slack lines. I'm Alia Howe, founder of the Poetry Market and co-creator of Poets on Purpose, a monthly gathering focusing on generating new poems, sharing new works to be aired at KDNK's Poetry Slams. I've been curating poetry events for the last 5 years up and down the valley, and we are waiting for the go-ahead from KDNK to present a live poetry program. Until then, here are some tight prose and slack lines. Welcome to this segment of Antiviral celebrating the mother, mothers, mothering, and taking time to nurture. I want to honour the mothers in my life, my motherland England, my grandmothers Hilda Strobridge and Lillian Howe, my mum Brenda Howe, my sisters and sister-in-law Linda, Jan and Jane, and for their beautiful families. And I'm going to introduce today's poet in the order of their readings. Rosemary Wartola Trummer has a new book out called Hush, which won the Halcyon Prize, and it's going to be out this month, so please order it. They are poems about human ecology and the natural world, and you can order, pre-order, from Rosemary's website, wordwoman.com. Then we have Louisa Byrne, a rising voice in our community. Stefano De Frey, with his Italian roots, he knows about grand matriarchs. And my heart sends him love at the rawness and recent loss of his grandmother. Trina Ortega back into the fold of performing her poetry with us. And I will close with a Billy Collins poem. Happy Mothering Sunday to all of KDNK's listeners. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, this is Rosemary Wartola Trummer, and I'm recording from my home in Placerville, Colorado, on the banks of the mighty San Miguel River. What a joy to be invited to share a poem about our mothers. And as a mother now, I really do have a better understanding of what went into being a mom. And it occurs to me how my mom was always so much larger than life in a way. I mean, I knew she was fallible, of course, but she really seemed to have her act together. This poem is one that I wrote this fall, still learning about my mother. It surprises me. She's fragile. This woman who labored for 18 hours to birth me. This woman who cared for me every time I was sick, who coached my soccer team, who led my Girl Scout troop. This woman who went hunting and fishing and still often comes home with the biggest catch. This woman who walked 10 miles to raise money for hunger. This woman who prays for everyone, everyone. And so tonight, when I walk her to her room and she needs to stop a moment to catch her breath, I marvel at how human she is. This woman who has been more than human to me my whole life, a superhero, a champion, a star, and somehow knowing this and understanding that it's been true all along, she has always been human. I fall even more deeply in love with her as she leans back on the bed, lets out a long sigh, closes her eyes, and smiles.
My name is Louisa Byrne, and I live in Aspen, Colorado. I have a 1.5-year-old, and you probably at times will be able to hear my daughter and my husband playing together outside. The poem I'm going to read to you is a part of a much longer poem. It's called a Pichacucha. It's the type of poem. They're usually 20-part poems. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all 20 parts. But it's a really great way to explore something as complex as motherhood, because I'm a mother and I have a mother myself. The poem's name is Motherhoodness. Your heart is no longer yours. They told me before she was born. Of course, it sounded like nonsense. But now that she is solid flesh and bone, now that I can believe in her realness, her wispy curls, her cries that shake the night. I see, no, I feel that it is true. My heart is hers. My heart is naked and unprotected, toddling around this world with all its fear and grief and pain and joy. At first, I was afraid she would die in her sleep. Now I fear toys with choking hazard parts and peanuts. Next will come a fear of bike crashes and accidental drownings. Then it will be boys, cars, and parties. I fear she will make the same bad choices I did, or that she will be completely lacking in the good sense I think I possess. It will never end. There will always be something to worry about, something to fear. So at night, I give her an extra kiss and tell her, I love you to the moon and back, 4 times. My daughter looks nothing like me. In the same way, I look nothing like my mother. And she looks nothing like hers. And then in an instant, we look everything like each other. 4 generations of smiles that make our left eye squint. The amount of honey and tea, that was passed down too. We carry our mother's joys. That too was in the milk.
My name is Stefano Defray. I live in New York City. This poem requires no formal introduction whatsoever. The title of this poem is In Amber Light for My Mother. I have no children and have often felt guilty for a lifetime of sleep I have received each night. But if time and fortune should conspire against me and gift me a wildly beautiful daughter, as independent and stubborn as her old man, I would imagine one Christmas night sitting around the fire with my daughter, Emma, asking me about her grandmother, whom she'd never met. She'd say, Dad, what was she like? And I'd pause, close my eyes, take a moment to say, Emma, I see her doing something simple, paying bills, reading an Italian newspaper in her native language, or leafing through a magazine or a book. And I wish that I could say, and I wish she could hear, that now I start to understand her love for all of us, the fullness of it. It burns there in the past, beyond my reach, in an amber light disguised as a modest lamp.
This is Trina Ortega from Carbondale, Colorado. I wrote this poem when I was younger, a first-generation college student, and it wasn't until I left home and went to university that I came to appreciate all that my family had given me. Among those gifts were the food and recipes handed down from my grandma to my mother, and then, when I finally took interest, to me. This poem is titled Grandma's Hands. I pinch off a clump of masa and mold it together. Across the table, my grandma sits in her chair in the corner of the kitchen. I glance at her and see myself at age 92. Restless, she picks at the hangnails aging on her fingertips. She stares at my hands, sculpting the tortillas. Hacienda tortillas, eh? She mumbles. When I was little, she rolled, and I was the one who watched and asked, Are you making tortillas? When I was little, she told me rhymes. Lanza, lanza, voy pa' Francia. And her scrawny, wrinkled finger would circle the air, round and round, going to France. Then it would find a tickling target on my belly. as I shape the masa into a tortilla, I wonder if I'll tell the same riddles to my grandkids and see my hands in their hands rolling the dough.
When Trina Ortega reminded me of this poem, I was like, yes, I love it. I have to share it with all of you who are listening. It is as juicy to read as it is to receive what the poem tells us. It is called The Lanyard by Billy Collins. The other day, I was ricocheting slowly off the blue walls of this room, moving as if underwater from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, when I found myself in the L section of the dictionary where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one into the past more suddenly. A past where I sat at a workbench at a camp by a deep Adirondack lake learning how to braid long thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift for my mother. I had never seen anyone use a lanyard or wear one, if that's what you did with them, but that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts. I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and then led me out into the airy light and taught me to walk and swim. And I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. "Here are thousands of meals," she said. "And here is clothing and a good education." "And here is your lanyard," I replied, which I made with a little help from a counsellor. "Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world," she whispered. "And here," I said, "is the lanyard I made at camp. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift, not the worn truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even." Thank you for listening to Antiviral's Tight Prose and Slack Lines. If you would like to submit a recorded poem, please send it to raleigh@kdnk.org or to me, Alya Howe, A-L-Y-A-H-O-W-E at me.com, and title it Antiviral. At the beginning of your recording, say your name, where you live, how COVID-19 is affecting you, and anything you want us to know about your poem. Then, pause, prep for your poem, and breathe. And when you're ready, read. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, be well, cultivating safe habits.